Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. I hope you are enjoying the little bit of rain. They say April showers bring May flowers, and our yard is full of flowers right now. I'm enjoying the season, and it helps calm down the pollen count. So hopefully over the next week or two, that'll be behind us, and we will be full blown into spring. And we've had the faux spring and false, all these different things over the last few weeks. We're glad to have you this morning. This week, thank you for church for allowing our staff to get away for a few days. We had a little staff retreat in the mountains and had an opportunity just to get away and hear God speak. And sometimes it's nice just to be able to change the scenery around you and be encouraged, being challenged in God's word. And I noticed every single one of our staff just relaxed and enjoying each other's company. And what an awesome time away. I want to remind you, at the end of the service today, we sent out something on social media just last night. At the end of the service today, we're taking up a special love offering for Pastor Omar. Omar is one of our church planters in Nicaragua. He is currently in the city of Matagalpa. We have been working with Pastor Omar since 1998, and he has planted multiple churches across that country. And we've been it's a privilege to be a part of that and to see the life changes taking place there in that country. And over the last several years, 5 years that they've planted the church there in Baba Baptist and Matagalpa, they've also now, they're planting their second church out from under that church, mission churches. And our mission team, we have a mission team that will be going there in August the 2nd through the 9th of this year. And mostly high school and college, and then a few adults from our church will be going on that team. And so we're excited. Last week I was talking to him. He said, Pastor David, he said, our entire sound system died on Sunday morning. And you want to bring things to a screeching halt. You shut off all of the audio, the video, the sound. And not that God needs all of those things, but it certainly aids and helps in that process. You can certainly understand that. They've raised some of the funds already, but they need about $1,500. And so we are going to do our part. If you can give today in the offering, you can also give online. If you click that other box, anything that comes in between today and next Sunday that's designated other will be going directly towards that project there in Nicaragua. We will just want to encourage them and mention, even during the pandemic, they launched a church about an hour away from Matagalpa, and these are all like provinces in and around that that city, and we're excited just to be a part of that. So looking forward to diving into the second part of 1 John chapter 2. Last week we began this, and last Sunday we were challenging, as John was challenging us, to live a clean life, a life that's close to God. But in the second part of John chapter 2, or 1 John chapter 2 rather, he takes us on a more of a journey of learning what false teachers are doing to the church, and he calls them false teachers or antichrist. And how do we discern false teachers as they can creep into the church? From the very early days of the New Testament church, there have been false teachers. And I've always heard that detectives, when they're trained to spot counterfeit money, they spend so much time looking at the real thing that they can spot a counterfeit a mile away. And they examine every square inch of currency, and they're looking for it. And if you ever use a $100 bill, a lot of stores have a pin that they will put a little mark across it, and it verifies that it's legit, it's the real thing. But as we're looking for false teachers, sometimes being trained to spot someone who's teaching something that's contrary to Word of God is vital. And the problem today is there's so many things that look sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Recently, there was a post online that was talking about a children's book, and it was called The Baptism of Jesus. How many saw that online? And it talked about that Jesus went down to the river to have his sins washed away. Now see, you can look at a children's storybook and you can see the pictures and all of that and think, oh, this is so neat, I should order this for my children. But the reality is it's heresy. Jesus is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the entire world. And so if you don't, if you're not discerning, you can read something like that and think, well, Jesus is just another human. Jesus is just another person. No, he's the Son of God. He's God incarnate, God in the flesh, who came to die on the cross and take away of our sin. Folks, if he was a sinner, he could not be our sacrifice. We would have to pay for our sins. And so not everything that appears to be of God is of God. So as we look into the second part of 1 John chapter 2, let's see what John says about false teachers. If you have a copy of God's Word, 1 John chapter 2 will begin in verse 18. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen this morning. It says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all are not of us. But you've been anointed by the Holy One. You all have knowledge. I write to you, not because we do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. And I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it was taught you, and abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts this morning? And Father, as we look at your word, as we see the importance of being able to spot false teachers and those that can creep into the church that cause division and ultimately cause people to stray from the faith. God, would you help us to keep our eyes peeled, Lord? May you have the discernment of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. God, would we be faithful to study your word and to allow the Holy Spirit of God to show us and reveal the truth of your word this morning. Encourage us as your church. God, may it be an encouragement for the body of Christ to know that there's nothing that can take away our salvation. If our faith is in you alone, God, may you encourage us this morning and strengthen the body. God, we'll be careful to praise you for what you're going to accomplish here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep in mind, the theme of 1 John is learning how to thrive in the Christian life. And sometimes thriving requires us to identify things that might derail our faith or discourage us or pitfalls along the road of life. And ever since Satan and his demonic forces rebelled against heaven, there have been a supernatural God opposing evil powers that have existed across the universe. And the term Antichrist is one that John uses and only occurs in his letters, even though the concept appears throughout the New Testament. It's a compound word that transliterates the Greek word antichristos, and it's anyone who opposes Christ. It's the opponent of the Messiah. And so as John is warning the church against sin and the world in the first part of chapter 2, now he talks about the spiritual dangers that are out there, that often invisible, that can lure an unbeliever to hell and can send a Christian's faith into the ditch. Sometimes a young believer can be easily deceived and they hear things and there's not as much discernment. And so John is encouraging the church to be vigilant, be sober, keep your mind open, your eyes open to the truth of God's word. And as we grow closer in our relationship with the Lord, we are able to discern more the true doctrine and see false teaching and walking in the light versus walking in the darkness. In light of living in the last days, it's imperative that we heed John's warning against Antichrist and test the spirits
Discerning Christians must stand against those that are seeking to destroy the work of the gospel. And folks, it's very real. It's happening. It happens in the church today. And so it's important. And I encourage you to bring a copy of God's word to church. If you have a copy, if you don't, talk to us. We would love to give you a copy of God's word. But I encourage you to bring it for yourself, because it's important that as we study, it's not just what Pastor David is saying or what my Bible study or small group teacher is saying, but what does the Word of God say? Is this the Word of God? Is it truly the Word of God? And it's vital. So what are the characteristics of Antichrist as we study here in verse 18? John is giving us some clarity. Think about a time in your life that you've been deceived, all right? Think back, maybe it was in high school, maybe it was in college, maybe it was as a young married person. Think about a time that you've been tricked into, maybe it was into some type of pyramid scheme and you invested money in an up-and-coming corporation and they said, hey, if you'll just give us a couple thousand dollars, your return on investment is going to be massive and you're going to make all kinds of money. And we're not going to ask you to show a hand of that, but maybe you bought into one of those things. Or maybe it was a person that, you know, you put your confidence in, and it was a boyfriend or a girlfriend or maybe even a husband and a wife, and they let you down. They appeared to be something that they weren't, and maybe you bought something online and it seemed like an incredible deal until it arrived. All right, you ever see those? The pictures online are just unbelievable. And like, man, this is like almost too good to be true. And if you're ordering something from Temu, it's probably not what it appears on your computer screen, all right? Let's just be real. I mean, sometimes you order stuff and you're like, man, this is like a steal of a deal. And it comes and you're like, that thing that you thought was so big and glorious is so tiny you can hardly even see it, and you're embarrassed by it. But the sad thing is, when people abuse relationships, it causes us not to trust. There's no greater deception than spiritual or religious deception. And perhaps it was a TV evangelist that turned out to be a crook. Perhaps it was a pastor that went off the deep end, or an abusive church that you belong to. The sad thing is, when people abuse the relationships, it leads people astray. And a toxic deception can lead someone to deconstructing their faith or have a total rejection of God and a rejection of people of authentic faith. Can I just say this morning? If you've been deceived, if you have bought into a lie, and you've if maybe you're listening in person or online today and you've been hurt by the church, can I just say that we hear you? We see you, we love you, and we respect you, and most importantly, God loves you. And He heals. He is the healer. And no matter what kind of abuse or situation you find yourself in this morning, God has the answer, and He has the ultimate ability to heal our hearts and our hurts. And let me encourage you in that. False teachers in 1 John chapter 2 are called Antichrist. And it's a foreshadow, ultimately, of the end times Antichrist who will arrive on the scene. And it's important for Christians, it says, to study the Word of God and live with your eyes wide open, because the devil is like a roaring lion that seeks whom he may devour. He is looking for people to prey on, and people that are maybe not as discerning. And only then, folks, can we be prepared to deal with the deceivers. Make sure that the words being preached are from the Word of God. Test the spirits. And in verse 18, it says, children, it's the last hour. You've heard that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. He's giving us literally a forewarning of things that are happening in that day and age. They went out from us. They were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all are not of us. The combination of deceptive hypocrisy and demonic heresies made the Antichrist teachers doubly dangerous, as they intentionally tried to creep into the church unnoticed. And John was warning the church. He says, be careful. I'm giving you some things to look for. He reminded them, we're living in the last days. John knew that they were living in the last days. And yet, fast forward all these years to 2024, and we're living in the last days. And as you talk about what that day looks like, the last hour began with the first coming of Jesus and will end when he returns again. But Christ's arrival caused Satan's forces to intensify and resulting in a rise of many antichrists, people that are against Jesus, people that are against the Messiah. After 3 years of relentless hostility towards them, they nailed him to a cross. But folks, that was God's plan all along. He had a purpose and a plan that he would send his son, Jesus, ultimately to die on the cross. Let's look at what these people might look like in John's day and today. We see the Antichrist are people that depart from the faith. The Word of God says in verse 19, these are people that who enter the church, they blend in, they look legit, but their motives are not pure. They're seeking to sabotage through false teaching and lies. And eventually the Word of God says they depart because they are not true believers. So they separate from the truth. Unfortunately, they often leave a path of destruction and take out some of the weak with them. I remember going to a Christian school, and one of our teachers in elementary school, she said, I want to tell you, she said, there was a time that I threw a Bible in the garbage can. I was like, wow, that's quite something to tell your fourth grade class. She said, I was in a period of my life where I got sucked into a false cult, unbeknownst to me, and not realizing it. She said, I began to make notes, and I was listening to the teaching of the Word, and she said, I realized at some point I'd been deceived, and I bought into a lie. And she said, I literally took a Bible that I had made all these notes in, and I threw it in the trash can because I realized I had bought into a lie of the devil. And she said, it took a long time to kind of break away from that and all the things that it had damaged my viewpoint. And she said, but folks, the reality is here's somebody who had been in church, who had grown up in church, and they had bought into a lie. Sometimes it's hard to imagine, but God allows Antichrist to do their work in his church for the ultimate good of the body because it purifies the church. Sometimes it's hard to say, why would God allow that? Why do we still live in a sin-cursed world? But God allows sin into this life and into this world, and until he comes to take us home, we're going to be exposed to those things. But I'm reminded, even the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. God is still in control, even when circumstances around us seem completely out of control. God can still work. And true believers shouldn't fear the work or influence of Antichrist because the children of God will always stay true to the faith and persevere to the end. So there's a second characteristic of Antichrist. They deny the faith. Verse 22 said, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. You see what happens is, as you look at the Word of God, there's certain characteristics that define Antichrist, and these are people that deny the faith, the correct view of Christ, his person, his work, his saving message is an essential part of true saving faith. In fact, the Antichrist denies both the Father and the Son, John tells us, and despite their claims, anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ does not know God. You can't have a relationship with God without his son Jesus Christ. And sometimes I hear people say, well, I love God, I just don't love the church. You realize the church is the bride of Christ? You can't have one without the other. If you don't love the church, you don't love Jesus because he died for the church. He desires to have a relationship with the church, and he gave his life on the cross for the church. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. An equally intolerable view in John's day was the threat of Gnosticism, which we saw a couple Sundays ago when we began in 1 John chapter 1. It had crept into the church. They denied that Christ had come in human flesh. To deny that the Son is to deny the Father. The denial of the Son is a failure to be a Christian. Those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, who came in the form of man, died and rose again, we are united to Him through the Father, to the Father, by the person of the Holy Spirit. See, what happens is, even the faith to believe in Jesus is given to us. It's alone from God the Father. We had to trust in something we couldn't see, something we weren't there to experience for ourselves. Then we see, thirdly, the Antichrist, or those who try to confuse the faithful. John warned his audience in verse 26. He says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." False teachers persist in trying to mislead the saints of God. And Jesus said this about them in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." They might confuse people on certain doctrines, but do you realize nothing can take away the faith? Those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. All of the forces, evil forces of this world, and that the devil is trying to concoct, and deceitfulness and trickery, well, he's trying to deceive, and the church of Jesus Christ, he says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But John continues on in the latter part of chapter 2. He says, what are the characteristics of the Christian? We saw the Antichrist. What are the characteristics of the Christian? And verse 20 and 21, he says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One. You all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." What is the opposite of Antichrist? A true believing follower of Jesus Christ. A born-again Christian is the opposite. We're committed to the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And John rejoices in the picture of Christians thriving in their walk. In fact, his whole point of 1 John is trying to help us thrive in our Christian faith. And he's giving us encouragement and tips and encouragement in our walk with God. And so John's, this whole picture of Christians thriving, he wants us to see the truth and thrive in the truth. In John's second letter, in 2 John 4, the first part says, "I rejoice greatly to find that some of your children walking in the truth." 3 John 4, he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." And so as he's going, he keeps calling his children over and over and over. But it's a reminder that as a child of God, we ought to be growing. We ought to be growing in our faith and our confidence of who Christ is and where we stand in that relationship. But it stands in sharp contrast to those who he's described as Antichrist. There are two reasons that true believers are not led astray in the process. First of all, we see they accept the faith. True believers have placed their faith and trust in Christ alone. John said he wrote to them in verse 21 because they know the truth. The difference here is a true believer has an anointing of the Holy One, of the Holy Spirit of God in verse 20. The anointing literally means ointment or oil and refers to the Holy Spirit, which takes up residency in the child of God. The Holy Spirit reveals the truths of God's word, and he reveals all that you and I need to know in this life. He closes out verse 21 with the phrase, though, he says, "because no lie is of the truth." Something cannot both be true and a lie. Christians are taught by the Holy Spirit to recognize the truth so that we can identify doctrinal error for what it really is. Verse 27, he says, by the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. See, true believers possess the truth. It resides in us. We know the truth because the Holy Spirit of God, who is truth, the Word is truth, indwells us. He illuminates His Word. He allows us to see what God is accomplishing through the Word and through the work of Christ. To know Christ, then, is to know Him who possesses, as Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what he's saying is that work of the Holy Spirit is a constant thing that he gives us discernment to know if something is truly of God or if it's something that's of the devil. Christians know God. We know Jesus. We know the Word of God. We know the truth. And this anointing, he says, is everything we need for spiritual life and growth. He illuminates his Word. I often tell people when they get saved, there's like, well, you know, I've read portions of Scripture before, and it doesn't make sense. Until you place your faith and trust in Jesus, until the Holy Spirit is living within you, the Word of God does not make sense. How could it? It wasn't written to you. It's God's love letter to His children. And so until we place our faith and trust in Jesus, and until the Holy Spirit is living within us, it's not going to make sense, because it's like reading someone else's mail. Sometimes we've opened, you get a bunch of mail, and you get it all out. You lay it there on the island or on the bar at home, and you start opening things, and you like, good grief, the electric bill was really high this month. Or good grief, this is, you know, I don't understand this. Or man, this doctor's, I don't know about it. This happens to anybody else, but our doctor's office will charge you sometimes you'll go and there's no fee when you go to the doctor. They say you don't owe anything this time, and then you get a bill in the mail like a week later, and they tell you owe $10. Well, I was just standing at the desk. Why didn't you charge me the $10? So I'll write a check for $10, I'll mail it off to the office, and a month later I get a check for $10 in the mail. I'm like, someone is crazy on the other end of this, because like, make up your mind. You want $10, you don't want $10. I'm tired of mailing a check for $10. Just decide which it is, and I'll pay you the $10. But the reality is as we're growing in our relationship with Jesus, there are certain things he says are only going to be understood through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you're opening that mail, sometimes I've opened up a bill and I'm like, what is this for? And you realize, you look down and you opened your next door neighbor's their bill. Well, no wonder. We don't even have that service. We don't subscribe to that or whatever it is. And you put it back in there and you text your neighbor, hey, I accidentally opened one of your letters. It's not written to you. But the same is true with the Holy Spirit of God begins to illuminate His Word to the church, because God's Word speaks to us. Folks, that's why it's so important to be in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be in church, where you're going to hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God and be around the church of God to be edified and encouraged that we must be growing as disciples. We have several D groups that are starting up over the next few weeks that are there to help you grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you've not grown up in church, or maybe haven't had a strong following, you need someone who can teach you how to open the Word of God and read it for yourself and understand God's Word speaks to our lives and the needs of our lives and the struggles that we have. And I can find encouragement in the Word. And it teaches how to share our faith and how to memorize Scripture and hide God's Word in our hearts. All of that is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be involved in one of those groups, we want to encourage you. Stop by the welcome desk after church and let them know. Reach out to Pastor Jackson and say, hey, I want to be a part of one of those small groups, and I want someone that will invest in teaching me how to grow as a disciple of Jesus. John wasn't saying in the last part of verse 27 that we don't need others to teach us, because he says it's not important to have someone teaching you. What he wasn't saying was that it's not important to learn the Word of God or have people teaching the Word of God. He wasn't anti-intellectual or against human teachers. What he was saying is the Lord has equipped the church with godly pastors and teachers and shepherds to pour into the flock to teach the word of God. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this in verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. What is he saying? He says, the church, it's not about just learning and growing in knowledge and not doing anything with it. He says, it's not about having this man-centered philosophy or relying on human wisdom. That's what John is saying. It's not about those things, but it's about the teaching of God's word by Spirit-filled teachers who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the work of the Holy Spirit uses them to build up and encourage the body. But then we see secondly, they also remain faithful. He said that the true believers, true Christians, remain faithful. He says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. You see, as believers, we're encouraged to actively persevere in the truth. The word abide occurs in these two verses three different times. He says it refers to the continual action of remaining. And that ultimate prize is for those who remain faithful. He says we look forward to eternal life, spending all of eternity in heaven with God the Father. You see, Pastor, what's the application? You see the contrast between the Antichrist and true Christians is crystal clear. Antichrist deny the faith. They depart from the faith. They seek to confuse the faithful. But true Christians, followers of Jesus, instead affirm the faith and remain faithful to the end. He says there's a clear distinction, a clear difference. No doubt the world has lost its way. Teachers, preachers, churches, entire denominations, universities have followed suit in turning their back on the truth of God's word. Do you realize that Harvard University, Yale University used to produce the greatest preachers of the gospel that this country has ever known? Today, they wouldn't understand the truth of the gospel if it hit them between the eyes with a 2x4. They have lost their way. Churches that once preached the gospel have lost their entire denominations, have turned their back on the gospel and said, you know what, we don't believe that any longer. How can you and I as Christians walk in triumph? How can we overcome the Antichrist that are unleashed in the last days? How can we be successful? How can we thrive in this life that Christ has called us to live? Can I encourage you this morning to spend time in God's word? The number one thing that's going to help you be armed and prepared to go into battle is to arm yourself with God's word. Don't let the sun go down without spending quality time with God and his word. You have to constantly refill your spiritual tank. See, what happens is if we wait till Sunday, until I bring the next sermon, and next Sunday's, let me give you a little bit of heads up, it's going to be in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. But you don't have to wait till then to get fed and get filled up. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to you through his word. And I know that's a novel concept for some, but the reality is if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he speaks to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit of God and encourages our heart. Just spend some time in God's word. And then secondly, stand firm in your convictions. Stand firm in your convictions. When false teachers come your way, stand strong. The word tells us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. See, what happens is when you're standing on the word of God, the winds will blow, the storms are going to come and go. In fact, this week is our staff was in the mountains for a few days. On our last day on Tuesday, but we were going to go home the very next day, I said, we're going to rent a side-by-side, and we're going to go riding on mountain trails, and we're going to go up on the high parts of the mountain and look out and just see some incredible views, go down by the river. And so we all get in this side-by-side, and we're just going down the highway having an absolute blast. In West Jefferson, the sun was shining. It was beautiful. It was a gorgeous day. But off in the distance, we're looking at it like it looks really dark in the direction that we're going. And so here we are. We're just cruising up the road. And before long, I mean, I'm like, it's raining ahead. And in fact, it looks like lightning ahead. And here's your pastor still driving along. And I was like, we're all going, should we turn around? And should we keep going? And I mean, it started raining so hard, and there's no sides on this thing. It's completely open. I mean, about 2 seconds into that, we were soaked to the bone. And I'm sitting there going, do we turn around? And finally we said, you know what, let's go back. There's a little town right back there. We go back and we get some hot chocolate, we get some coffee, and we sit down and we wait until the storm kind of cleared, and then we were like, okay, it's time to go on. And so we got back in the side by side and we started going back up the mountain. We're waiting to see those views, and all of a sudden what was a little small stream or creek had turned into whitewater rafting, and it was like a raging river just flowing through there. And I was like, I don't know, guys, this doesn't look good. I mean, well, and all of a sudden we're crossing bridges that the water is right up to the bottom of the bridge. And you know what? I was getting nervous, and I'm like, guys, I don't know. I don't know. I think sometimes God gives you signs that, you know, you miss the one where the people are stranded out on the side of the road, and then we passed a mobile home, and it was completely surrounded by water, and we're watching as things are going down the river that were in people's yards a few minutes earlier, and we're going, man, this doesn't look good. And then we get to this one man, and he's there on the side of the road, and his entire driveway has washed into the road. And we stopped, and I said, Is this normal? He said, no, and in fact, there's a landslide up the mountain. You probably should turn around. Sometimes God gives us warning signs that says, you know what? It's time to turn around. It's time to take a different course. Sometimes God gives us signs and along the way that says, hey, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God saying, He gives us an uneasiness about the feeling of what it is that God is trying to do. But He says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The next morning, we're sitting there at breakfast, and our waitress is a sweet lady. She's a pastor's wife, and I know her really well, and from all of our times of going up there. And she said, did you make it up on the top of the mountain? How were the views? I said, Miss Emma, I said, that was the craziest storm I've ever seen. I said, I've never seen so much water rushing down the mountain. She said, they said it's the most rain they've had since the spring of 1977. And it caused massive flooding. And she said, lots of people were caught up. I said, we got to one point where it looked like it had snowed. And I said, why is there snow on either side of the road? It was hail, church. And it was just crazy. Well, but folks, the amazing thing is God put little signs along the way, and someone says, no, it's time to turn around. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God sometimes gives us that clarity, not sometimes, but always, as we're seeking to grow. But then also, thirdly, He says, stay focused on Jesus Christ. Stay focused on Christ. Let your mind stay laser focused on Jesus. Serve Him. Seek to please Him. examine his teachings, his life, his example. Follow him. Keep Christ at the center of your life. And as we abide in him, his word will keep us on the right path. Church, I'm excited because as John is giving warning signs, he also reminds us if we abide to the end, we'll experience that eternal life. We'll experience what it means to know God and have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and how he desires to work in your life and mine. Let's be faithful to the end. Let's be those that persevere. Let remain faithful in our faith and ultimately allow the Holy Spirit of God to transform our lives. Holy Spirit, this morning, thank you for warning signs in Scripture.